This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We coming to H-Town. Let's get to work in, man. Let's go.
Great day. Great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
There we go. There we go. Ben, I know everything's pushed back a day, so it feels like a Thursday because they just practiced yesterday. But it is indeed a football Friday. It is a football Friday here and around the world. And even though the Texans play on Monday, we shall celebrate the sport of American football today.
But they had their Wednesday press conferences and practices yesterday, Sean.
They did.
This is 3 weeks of me being disoriented by the practice schedule being screwed
up. Don't worry, you're back to the old Sunday noon-a-roo starting next week, pal. You can make
Thank
it one
goodness.
More week.
And the Texans are on track for an afternoon Saturday playoff game. So
hold up.
Dojo.
You're getting ahead of yourself. We get the Saturday noon-a-roo for week 12, 13, bye week 15, and then we got Saturday football and Christmas Day on Wednesday football.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. Yeah, I won't be disoriented at all.
No, you'll be fine, I'm sure.
I've got a much more valid excuse for forgetting to send the presents out on time for the 43rd straight year of me sending presents out.
No, this is valid. You've got a football game on Christmas. But for now, we've got Monday Night Football coming up. We've got football. I'm in a good mood, man. I am so excited just to sit and watch football Saturday and Sunday. Not like last week where you go, you know, I get to sit and watch football and then get in the car and go to the stadium at 3 in the afternoon. And I'm not complaining. I love it. I love doing it. It's fun. But this is the first time, because even the weekend 2 weeks ago on Thursday where we had that full weekend, Amy and I went out of town. This is 10:01 a.m., men's tea clinic, workout, and then I am making a series of very poor nutritional decisions over the next 48 hours and sitting on a sofa and watching football. And this has me in a great mood today. I am in really good mood today.
Have they delivered my giant case of Daisy French onion dip yet or not?
Daisy floating around here.
Now that we're doing, there was that time of year where I'm talking about Daisy French onion dip and Daisy ranch dip.
Yeah.
And Clint and I, this is where we undo all of our. All
your
of
good,
our
good
works. Work. Our good dietary work for the previous 11 months.
Yeah, Clint's been putting it in too, man. Like, Clint, you can tell, like, Clint's been putting in the work.
He's been working out. Yeah, we're both about to get fat as hell.
That's okay.
Yeah, and I'm here for it.
Yeah.
This is part of, I need the extra cushioning to protect me through the Texans playoff run. Yes.
Yes. I'm in such a good mood. It's cool outside this morning. Like, the air is fresh. I got my D'Amico hoodie on today, man. I'm ready to go. I'm supporting the head coach, D'Amico Ryans of the Houston Texans. Now, this Cowboy game on Monday, I'm very excited for this game. The Cowboys are a very wounded animal right now, but you and I were exchanging texts this morning. There's a video that came across my timeline, and in the spirit of being able to localize almost anything to the Houston Texans in the NFL, I saw this video, And I immediately, my mindset was like, okay, look at the Jets. And I can't believe the Texans lost to this team. Here is Sauce Gardner yesterday after practice. Apparently their interim head coach, Jeff Ulbrich, former defensive coordinator, did some sort of tackling demonstration for the team, for a bunch of groups.
He had a meeting where he showed, like what they need to emphasize with tackling.
Yeah.
They've been a poor tackling team. Sauce Gardner, one of the chief offenders.
A poor tackling team. And Sauce seemed to not take too kindly to the fact that this made it out to the media and that they've been getting tackling demonstrated to them like they're eighth graders. Here's Sauce Gardner yesterday.
We know how to tackle. We know how to tackle. We got to make the tackles. That's really it, you know. We've been doing it. Simple. We really don't need no presentation. You know, I know where he was coming from when he did it, but us as professional athletes, we got to be able to make tackles, me included, for sure.
And we can talk about, was it insulting to be demonstrated? Whatever. If you're not doing your job well, you reap what you sow. But I'm watching this video. I'm like, I cannot believe the Texans lost to this team, the Jets, on Thursday Night Football a couple weeks ago. And I sent that to you. And your reply back to me was so appropriate. And you said, yeah, that's why I'm nervous about the Cowboys on Monday night.
Right, yeah, there's no reason the Texans, on paper, should have had any issues with the Jets whatsoever.
It's a great reminder,
man. There we were with Aaron Rodgers having his one good game from the past.
One good half. Seasons.
Yeah, one good half.
Yeah.
Right, yeah, he had one of the worst first halves he's ever had.
It's terrible.
And then, lo and behold, boom.
Poof.
There they go.
Right.
The Jets have a magical performance against the Texans for the second straight year. Yes.
Right. So 24 hours after I anointed the Texans AFC South champions, because the Colts have chosen to go with Anthony Richardson.
Yeah.
I think it's a good call to get a little bit, you know, let's not get too at ease about this thing on Monday here.
Sauce is really sensitive about his tackling. He went after fans on social media after last week's game. He posted it and then deleted it. Yeah,
okay.
That's what it was. Oh, and it wasn't fans, just fans. He was interacting with fans, but also Rich Simini, who covers the Jets.
He does their beat.
He had pointed out that the defense had 20 missed tackles last week. Sauce Gardner's was the costliest.
Mm.
And Sauce Gardner replied, "Yup. I'm 100% sure me missing that tackle at the beginning of the second quarter for a gain of 17 yards was the costliest miss, and that is, in fact, what lost us the game." Like, all right, Sauce.
He didn't say it lost you the game. He said it was the costliest miss. That can be
right,
accurate.
Right, yeah. And we saw, remember, Sauce kind of just made a lackadaisical effort at tackling. Was it Dalton Schultz in the Jets game?
I don't remember.
I think it was Dalton Schultz. So, Sauce, you're a big physical dude. You love to get all handsy with wide receivers and get away with it. But when it comes to getting handsy, once people are actual ball carriers or if they're bigger than a wide receiver, you don't look like you have a passion for it.
And yet,
you beat the Houston Texans.
I'm nervous
about this Cowboys game.
Okay.
Yes. I'm very nervous about this Cowboys game.
I'm not going to spend the weekend being nervous because I'm just in too good of a mood. But yes, I'm
not leaving the house, Sean. That's how nervous I am.
I
were pricing out ham radios before the show.
That's a true story.
I'm ready to go into survival mode.
That's a true story. I'm not leaving the house.
AM radios, not ham radios.
Yeah.
But still.
Either one.
Surprisingly affordable, and yet still too expensive for an AM radio.
Yes. All right, now to the good news. Nico Collins is back. He's back at practice. He was limited yesterday, but nobody is saying anything in these press conferences that seems to imply that he's going to be another game-time decision on Monday. Like, all signs are pointing to Nico playing. Here was DeMeco Ryans yesterday on Nico Collins being back.
Getting Nico back is always very great for all of us. Nico's been one of our best players when he was healthy, so it's great to have him back, great to have his presence and the energy that he brings and also the playmaking ability that he brings. So happy to have him back and really proud of him for the work he's put in to get himself back.
I was watching the Thursday night game last night, Seth, between the Eagles and the Commanders. If you missed it, Eagles beat the Commanders last night 26-18. Jaden Daniels looks like a rookie again.
Two straight weeks.
Yeah.
Two good defenses.
Yeah. Jalen Hurts hit A.J. Brown on a quick three-step back, boom, slant route for 26 yards in the first quarter of that game.
Yes.
And I said to myself, that's what we're getting back on Monday night. Right there. Like, big, strong, got to lay off him a little bit because he can beat you deep. Like, Nico Collins is in the A.J. Brown class, no question about it.
Yeah.
And Jalen Hurts you know, who's, you know, it's been kind of up and down for him. The Eagles are 8-2, but it's been a little up and down for him. That and Heat and A.J. Brown had been hurt recently. He just came back. That you have that outlet as a quarterback where you can just take three steps back and zip a slant route to a guy who's got a 10-yard cushion, and then he runs over four people in the process is a massive weapon.
All of a sudden, your offensive coordinator is a lot better at scheming
the quick
game.
So much smarter. Oh, my God.
And taking care of doing things to help out the poor pass protection, all of that. Yes. I honestly, in the pregame, they flashed up the stat. I was just walking by and saw it, but I think I want to say they're 1-2 when A.J. Brown isn't playing, and that made me feel less guilty about just looking at Nico as a cure-all. That A.J. Brown is very much
he's the Nico of that offense.
Yeah. And it's in a way that wide receivers really hadn't been for a long time. You never really looked at a wide receiver as like, oh, yeah, that guy would be the engine. But over the last decade or so, we've seen that, receivers very much are not just an add-on force. They're a driving – the way running backs used to be.
Yeah.
They can just absolutely drive an entire offense. And, that's where Nico is. He's been the best offensive player for the Texans this year.
Yeah, I saw that one pattern in that game last night. I'm like, man, that's what we've been missing. And that's what we're getting back on Monday. Here's C.J. Stroud on getting Nico back.
Yeah, it's huge. You know, I'm very excited to have my guy back, and just happy for him, to be back with the team and be a part of a locker room again. You know, they're solitude when injured, people are injured, they're on their own. So I'm glad that he's just able to be around the guys again and be able to do the sport that he loves to play.
Why do they have to be on their own? Why, like,
he's solitude.
Why do they,
well, because there is that, because the way they do things logistically, when you're on IR, they want to be sure that the guys who are actually practicing and everything get the training time, at one certain time where they still can be in meetings and everything. And then when IR, I don't know how D'Amico does it specifically, but there is a lot of time where you're not doing all the team activities so you can get your rehab in when the guys who matter aren't around.
Right? Yeah.
It feels very much like, oh, I'm a guy who doesn't matter.
I'll bet it does.
D'Amico might tell you and hug you and say, no, you matter. But it rings hollow.
And then game day rolls around and you're just a name on a list. That's all you are.
You're just a guy that's, and they lay out your street clothes for you to wear on the sideline.
Yep. No Kamari Lassiter yesterday. Not tremendously surprising, but not super encouraging either. He's in concussion protocol. Derek Stingley Jr. did not practice yesterday, but reports are that's nothing to be too concerned about. He's got a hip, but he should play. Limited Azeez Al-Shaair with the knee. He played last game. I'm not too worried about that. Blake Fisher with a concussion, limited. That was interesting. And Damian Pierce is back at practice. So they've got their backup running back. And Jeff Okuda, full go. And C.J. Stroud actually showed up on the injury report. Full go, but with a hand injury. So some interesting little nuggets on there.
Did Blake Fisher, was that known in game?
That was never announced in game. No,
okay.
It was not. Like where the voice of God comes on in the press box and says, update on a Texans injury, Blake Fisher has a concussion. Yeah. No, we never got that. So that must have been something they diagnosed after the game. He did practice. Yeah.
I wonder if he got hit by a parking garage barrier arm. That's another big thing that does people.
That happens a lot. Yeah,
I got hit by a barrier.
Half the hosts on this that happened to half the hosts on this show in the last month.
Yeah, I didn't do it, and I didn't take any time off.
No,
I went right up, and I was live streaming while concussed within like 20 minutes.
Well, yeah, you do your job. You play every day, man. Like you just rub some dirt on it. And
is there? I mean, do we even have to hold out Texans offensive linemen with concussions anymore? I mean, will there be any noticeable difference whether they're concussed or not?
Fair point.
Ooh, the silent count, the problem that no man can solve, concussed or not.
Silent count. All right, it's a football Friday. We've got Texans Cowboys coming up on Monday. Monday Night Football. You can hear it here on Sports Radio 610. 4:15 is when Seth and I will get it started with Texans Countdown. The Texans lead their division. I feel like they've held up their end of the bargain on this game. The Cowboys stink. They have not held up their end of the bargain. Yet, there's still a lot of juice to this game. How much juice is there still? I've got a few good reasons we've still got some juice in this game on Monday. We'll go through that coming up next.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack. you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5HourEnergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy. Shipped nationwide.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Here's Payne and Pendergast.
Okay, there's a reason the Texans are playing the Cowboys on Monday. There's a reason the Cowboys are on the schedule. It's because both teams finished in first place in their respective divisions last year. This is the 17th game. This is the extra game. So the Texans are matched up with this year it's the NFC East. They're matched up with the same corresponding team with where they finished last year. The Texans are still the first place team in the AFC South. The Cowboys, they are not. They are behind both the teams that played last night on Thursday Night Football. The Eagles, well behind. The Eagles and the Washington Commanders. The Cowboys are way closer to the Giants than they are either of those teams right now. And yet, still a battle for the state of Texas. Still a team you don't play very much. We all hate Dallas down here. We'll discuss that throughout the show. But reasons this game still has juice when one of the two teams is failing miserably this year. Seth, I've got a few here. And the first one is you've got the Micah Parsons, CJ Stroud dynamic. This is the two of them are very good friends. They share an agent. They basically did a barnstorming tour this offseason globally. They went everywhere together, these two.
That's right, yeah. They went to Japan. They sumo wrestled together.
Sumo wrestled, yeah. They were all over.
Well, not together. And it was more, Micah that was more
CJ watched,
wrestler.
Shirtless, yeah. But they traveled the Far East together. They did a draft show together. They did multiple podcasts together. Here are Micah Parsons and CJ Stroud jawing about which team is better, the Texans or the Cowboys?
Who would you say is the best team in Texas right now?
You know what it is? I mean, I feel like Micah knows who it is. Me and Steph know who it is.
I mean,
everything got to get figured out on the field. You know, like,
I ain't even see no chemistry. And I ain't even get a snap. We the best team. What the hell?
There's a time and place, you know what I'm saying, where you're going to figure it out. You're going to see what's about.
And you know what it is? You know what it is?
What is
it? You know, he faced some pretty good guys. But he ain't never see a killer, though.
You sit on a couch with one.
You ain't never see a killer in his eyes and, you know, guy throw that ball downfield. Like, he just be talking.
Okay, so one of hundreds of arguments those two had on the internet.
He's never seen a killer.
Offseason.
I don't know, it's funny. As great as Micah Parsons is, I just don't look at him as a killer. He's not like a scary defensive lineman. I mean, he's scary in that he can wreck your day with production.
Wreck your game, yeah.
But
yeah.
he's not like a, you know, Greg Lloyd type. You know, somebody that's just
fear so for your life,
menacing type. And yeah, might actually stalk you down and beat you up after the game.
Right.
He's not that kind of guy.
He's not a meet you in the parking lot guy.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. So
unless you want to trade Pokemon cards or something.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. He might meet you there, but it might not be to fight. So the Micah Parsons, CJ Stroud dynamic is a fun thing to watch in this game. That's number one. Number two, if the Texans embarrass the Cowboys on Monday night, could this be a knockout blow? Could the Texans get a head coach fired this weekend?
No. No, okay. only because the Cowboys are so weird in the way that they make any of their decisions and they drag their feet. Well, Jerry Jones specifically.
Let me rephrase, because I agree with you. I don't think Jerry would fire Mike McCarthy. Could they turn should Mike McCarthy be fired into the A1 topic on all the national shows on Tuesday?
Oh, yeah, probably, except that I feel like everybody else has kind of gotten to the point where with the Cowboys...
That doesn't stop them from talking about McCarthy getting fired.
Right. Yeah. Probably. I mean, if you get embarrassed at home. But this has been ongoing. They haven't won at home yet. They've been just thoroughly embarrassed. Some of the scores don't tell the whole story. They've had huge deficits going into the fourth quarter in, I think, all of their home games this year. And it's been really, really bad. So I don't know if there's anything that's capable of being a tipping point more so than already has been tipped.
Yeah.
This seesaw is anchored down by by Mike McCarthy's fat hiney already. It's like Mike McCarthy is sitting on the seesaw. It's on the ground.
Yeah,
he should have been fired, and he's eating a triple Happy Meal.
No, Happy Meal.
Yes.
You and I are on the same side of that. I'm just wondering, like the Texans for these last two primetime games, we've woken up the next morning and they have been on the wrong side of the storyline. Are the Jets back?
Yeah.
Are the Lions the best team in football?
Right.
And now they have a chance to be on the right side of the storylines on Tuesday morning if they just decimate the Cowboys on Monday night.
Yeah, you know? And especially, and there's a much better chance with Nico Collins in the game.
Agreed.
You know,
yeah.
Nico doesn't fix all of the, Nico doesn't fix the systemic issues on the offensive line, but he does cover it up really, really well.
Yeah.
He doesn't get rid of the black mold, but he puts a nice sheen of spackle over it.
Yes.
Long enough to fool the new home buyers. Yes.
I would add to this too that the Jerry Jones interview on 105.3 The Fan on Tuesday will be a whole lot more fun for Texan fans if the Texans win on Monday night. Like that'll be some fun clips to play on, you know, cuz you know Sean and RJ will ask the question about what's it feel like to, you know, lose to your in-state rival.
I think the biggest problem is in regards to all that is that the Cowboys don't have their starting quarterback. So, I mean, that first and foremost, you've got that built-in excuse to where it cushions it a little bit. If they got destroyed and Dak Prescott was the quarterback, then you're really wondering, okay, what the hell are we doing here? Where this will be, they'll be able to sit back on, well, we don't have Dak, and once Dak returns, things will be different.
They can, but this is why the Texans' offense needs to get their head out. This is why the Texans need to go hang 40 on these fools. This Dallas defense sucks.
Right.
They're in the bottom five of everything. Like
they're horrendous.
They're horrendous. They don't defend the run. Like you can run through these guys. They suck in the red zone. They suck on third down. Like and this isn't me just trying to use the word suck as many times as I can. Like I can go find the stats if you want me to. But they're last in red zone defense. They're 31st in passer rating allowed in the red zone. They're 28th on third down. Like they are so bad. They are so bad. Like this is, and with Nico Collins back, Seth, as you just said, this is such a get well game for the Texans offensively here.
Yeah.
An extra day to get ready for it and work out your kinks that you've had. You did some good things against the Lions that you can build on. You're not coming off just a wall to wall horrific game like you did against the Jets. Like you got to get at least 30. And I'm not saying the game. I'm saying you need to get 30 to make a statement in this game that you can play offense.
The Cowboys' defense is second worst at stopping the run. They're allowing 152 yards per game.
Yeah.
They've allowed the most rushing touchdowns at home. They allow an average of 3 rushing touchdowns per game at AT&T Stadium.
That's incredible. At home. Oh, my God.
At home. At home.
Dude.
Yes. It's been a house of horrors for them at home this year. And that, a cavernous house of horrors.
Yeah.
Very well lit.
Oh, very
extremely well lit while the sun is setting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a little too well lit in some in some spots. Yeah. So reasons this game still has juice. Yeah, you got to destroy these guys. Brandon Cooks is on IR. I'm a little disappointed about that. Remember old Cooksy, the old trade requester extraordinaire when old Jackie Boy got let go back in 2020?
The cool thing about Brandon Cooks is that his facial expression never changes. He's got the same scowl on his face now as his, after he probably gets really good news about something. He's still got a scowl
constant
on his face.
RBF, man. Constant RBF with him. I've got audio from Brandon Cooks for a little later in the show in a little segment called Five Reasons I Hate You.
And it's good.
It's so glorious, dude. It's when he was, it was right after the season was over in 2022 when he was looking for a trade. And he was talking about he didn't want to be part of a rebuild anymore. Remember that?
That's right.
He didn't want to be part of a rebuild.
No rebuilds. I'm going to go out to somewhere that just screams never rebuilding the Dallas Cowboys.
I love this so much.
They're on a 30-year rebuild, and yet somehow he doesn't want to be a part of a rebuild.
I'll go to the Cowboys instead. Yeah, I don't know. I don't feel like... I mean, the rebuild for the Texans feels like it's moving in the right direction.
There's zero excuse for the Texans if they don't go up and just destroy the Cowboys.
Yes.
With Nico Collins back. And now I'm not saying it can't happen, obviously. I'm just saying as far as excuses, no. The Texans have under-delivered on the promise of what their depth chart looks like, what this team looks like on paper versus what the Cowboys look on paper right now, where I'm trying to talk myself up into being nervous about Dawdle, the running back.
Yeah, there are two guys that can wreck this game for you if you're the Texans. Yeah. It's Micah Parsons on defense, and it's CeeDee Lamb on offense. That's it.
And Rico Dawdle.
Like, that's not even, doesn't even sound
Rico
like
a... Dawdle, Sean, he was...
Oh, no.
He's averaging 4.4 yards per carry last
they
week
chose
over,
to
over
go,
Zeke Elliott's 3.6
They yards. Chose to go into the season with him as their lead back, or I guess Ezekiel Elliott, but yeah. Text message, 5-Hour Energy fan line, 5-Hour Energy, the official energy shot of Sports Radio 610 and football super fans. How can Dameon Pierce be considered the backup? He's got like 10 carries all year. Okay, well, who's the backup then? You tell me.
Right, and he's healthy and practicing this week. He's been banged up, right? Wow, what did you say about Dameon Pierce being the backup?
I just said he was back. When we were going through the injury report in the open, I said, Dameon Pierce, so you got your backup running back.
I mean, it's the same question I've asked, and we'll see. I mean, Dameon had one really nice run on the season so far as a running back. There really hasn't been anything to judge him by because he's been banged up and injured. And
there's nobody else.
We'll see. But the Texans consider him their backup running back.
Yeah.
That's why he's the backup running back.
Yeah, why is he the backup?
Because he's their backup running back.
Because the other running backs are Dari Ogunbowale and J.J. Taylor. That's why he's their backup running back.
Yeah, I don't even understand the question. No. Now I'm getting agitated about
this
nonsense. Don't get agitated.
Let's see. I remember the Texans' inaugural season win over the Cowboys. Seth was there, too. You were there for that. The Cowboys for you, the Texans' first ever win. You played a prominent role in that.
That person probably remembers it better than I do. I'm focused on, doing my job on game day. Everybody else is taking in the whole game.
You had a safety in that game, Seth. You caused a safety in that game against the...
I was a prolific scorer for a stretch of time there. I was like the Texans' third or fourth leading scorer all time.
You were on pace.
Talk about an expansion team stat.
You were on pace to get a safety in every game.
However, the scoring, look up the box score on that. And who scored? Billy Miller and Chris Brown and others. And then Seth
Payne. You were probably like the fourth leading scorer in franchise history.
That's how I should start, a previous fourth leading scorer in franchise history.
Not false. Not false. Sean, this text message, Sean is totally pulling a D'Amico today. Monday you were sleep deprived and pissed off at the game, and today you're in a good mood and we're division champs, LOL. Just joking around. Don't destroy me on air. I won't destroy. No, that's true. That's true. No, and
did that guy say anything about Dameon Pierce being the backup running back?
Not that I can tell. And I don't think it's the same. It's not the same guy. That's right. It's the next text. Yeah. So no, but I am. I'm in a super good mood today. Just not just about the Texans, but yeah, like that's Seth and I explained ourselves after these primetime games. We are very sleep deprived when we come in after a primetime game to do the show. So a lot of the same emotions that were happening the night before, the only thing standing in between them is 3 hours of very poor sleep, which only exacerbates the situation. We might be better off if we just stayed up all night instead of getting 3 bad hours of sleep.
Yeah, plus I'll make no apologies with sleep or without sleep for being upset after a loss.
Nope.
That's human nature, baby.
Yeah.
If you came to this show looking for people, defying human nature,
wrong place. Yep, came to the wrong place.
I respect God's creation. That's what I do. Every time I throw a tantrum, I feel like, that's what I'm doing.
Yep.
I'm respecting the way God made me.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. 5 Hour Energy fan line. Okay, now Seth, this is something to put on one of the burners here. Lose to Dallas, I'm done with the Texans this year. That is a thing. I'm super optimistic about this game. I think the Cowboys feel like a different type of wounded animal than the Jets were a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
The Jets had already fired their coach. They had that interim head coach potential bump still. Aaron Rodgers is not Cooper Rush. Like, there was still, obviously, there was still little the old Aaron Rodgers in there.
Right.
Boy, I don't want to look ahead to a Tuesday morning where the Texans are 6-5.
Okay, look at CeeDee Lamb. CeeDee Lamb's gone over 100 yards receiving once this year. He's averaging 11 yards per reception. That's the lowest of his career. They haven't been able to really utilize CeeDee Lamb all that well, and that's with Dak Prescott for most of the season. So, yeah, if the Texans have a few glitches on the back end and they end up letting CeeDee Lamb go off and the Cowboys, even if they're in the game in the fourth quarter, I feel like that's a bit of a failure of the Texans delivering on what they should be looking like right now.
Spreads more than a touchdown on this game. It's 7.5. Like the odds makers think the Texans should win by more than a touchdown.
And make no mistakes about it. I'm not cocky about it. The Texans, the professional version of the Texans, still need to show up.
Yes.
The team that can play 4 complete quarters, the team that can deliver on the potential they have on their offense, they still need. So I'm not, but we're talking about what should be and what the line shows and reflects is that the Texans should be a much better team, especially on the road in Dallas, where Dallas has been atrocious this year.
Yep.
So you don't have any excuses about your offensive line falling to mud whenever they have to go to silent count. It's just, no, they should be a better team than the Cowboys.
Dallas has not shown up for a single home game this year. They've not.
Yeah.
That's not exaggeration or hyperbole or me missing a game here and just applying it to all, it's, no, they've played 4 games there, and they played 4 crappy games there. Be the next crappy game for them, Texans. All right, headlines. We'll get you an injury report for the Texans. Thursday night football last night as well. And Rockets back in action tonight, man. Rockets looking forward to this. Another game against the Clippers. We got a little bit of Astros news. Let's get to headlines coming up next.
Payne and Pendergast with today's headlines.
All right, let's start with headlines. Injury report for the Texans yesterday. Texans back at practice yesterday for the first time this week. Nico Collins back at practice. He was limited, but it seems all signs point to him playing on Monday against the Cowboys. Here was D'Amico Ryans on getting Nico Collins back.
Getting Nico back is always very great for all of us. Nico's been one of our best players when he was healthy, so it's great to have him back, great to have his presence and the energy that he brings and also the playmaking ability that he brings. So happy to have him back and really proud of him for the work he's put in to get himself back.
He was back. We'll talk about his impact in a second. Guys that were out, can't believe I didn't mention Will Anderson in the open of the show. Will Anderson still out with an ankle. Kamari Lassiter still in the concussion protocol. Derek Stingley Jr. missed practice with a hip injury yesterday, but it doesn't appear to be serious, according to reports. Foley Fatakasi, who was on the injury report throughout the week last week, played well on Sunday, but then left the game with a foot injury and didn't come back. He was out yesterday as well, so that's something to keep on. They do get Mario Edwards back this week, so losing Foley Fatakasi is not a death blow depth wise for the team or anything.
We are at a point in the season too where one of the reasons I'm hesitant to look at Will Anderson and or Nico Collins coming back as the conquering heroes or saviors, because you have to remember, you're at the point of the year where you're going to get injuries, and somewhere along the way between now and the end of the year, you're probably going to lose another starter at some point. We're in that time of year. And Nico and Will are the two huge ones. Those guys just change everything, the entire way you can operate on offense and defense. So, looking at this Cowboys matchup, look, the Texans should be favored whether Nico Collins and Will Anderson are playing or not.
Oh, yeah.
But in terms of, man, if they have both those guys back, then they really need to slam the door shut on any kind of hope that the Cowboys might have on any kind of a resurrection this year.
Yep, agreed. Totally agree.
You, I feel like you've got some kind of a mental block with Will Anderson right now. Like, you're in denial.
No.
That's the second time this week you've kind of just skated over the Will Anderson.
That's fair.
Dynamic.
No, it's fair for you to point that out. No, I can tell you exactly why it is, because we've gotten zero reports on his progress and how he's doing. Like, nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Whereas with Nico, even a week after getting put on IR, we were getting reports about Nico Collins. Like, it's been oddly quiet on the Will Anderson front. That's why.
So Will would be one of the guys that, okay, if he doesn't practice today, which is like a Thursday practice, you start to get nervous, because usually D'Amico wants guys to practice on a Thursday before they play in the game. But there have been a couple times this year, Dalton Schultz and Foley Fatakasi, when they only practiced on a Friday and then played in the game. So it's not a death knell if Will Anderson doesn't practice today, but it's not a good sign given how the Texans typically handle things.
D'Amico had a quote last week, or he had we played a clip of him last week talking about how he handles injuries, and he stressed how cautious he is with injuries. This feels like one they would be overly cautious on. Will Anderson, ankle. End of subject, you know?
Right. And I think also, you know, I think that coaches try real hard not to handicap the game they're going into, because that borders on being too cute, and you should always be worried about getting too cute or trying to be too sophisticated.
And yet. I know where you're going with this.
This is a game you look at and you're like, listen, all right, come on. If these guys have anything to them, they should be able to beat the Cowboys without Will Anderson.
Well, and the next two games are division games after that.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And so there's that. So there's your injury report for the Texans. They're back at it today. Coordinators meet with the media today. So this will be interesting. Another Bobby Slowick press conference where all the natives are at the gate with the pitchforks and torches on Bobby Slowick still here. We'll hear from Bobby Slowick a little later on today. I'm sure you'll hear the audio on the drive with Sterner and Hughley. Thursday Night Football last night, the Eagles beat the Commanders 26-18. Is Jaden Daniels, I don't want to say turning into a pumpkin, but is he hitting a rookie wall here, Seth?
It's
Cliff Kingsbury. Are we hitting the Cliff Kingsbury wall?
I know. Cliff Kingsbury, typically just the first half of the season, especially with a young athletic quarterback, they can do some really good things, and teams start to get a read on exactly what they're trying to do. Now, this is the thing. It's been two good defenses they've gone against. The Eagles have been really good defensively for the past 6 weeks or so.
Yes, they have.
You know, they had some glitches early on with this new Vic Fangio defense, but they're really coming into their own. Cooper DeJean playing a lot more has been a big part of that.
Quinyon Mitchell, the rookie. The two rookies at corner for them have been great.
Yeah, so I'm gonna hold off, but yeah, Jaden Daniels hasn't looked like offensive rookie of the year the last 2 weeks, but it's been versus very good defenses.
He couldn't get the ball to the wide receivers last night. To your point about the corners, their three leading receivers in the game were Austin Ekeler had 8 catches out of the backfield, Zach Ertz had 6 catches, John Bates had 2 catches. John Bates, number 87. I had to click and make sure John Bates was a tight end. I'm like, that sounds like a tight end. John Bates, number 87. He is. But after that, it was all a bunch of receivers with 1 catch, and the leader was Terry McLaurin with 1 catch for 10 yards. That's it.
Yeah.
Like, you're right, the Eagles, man, defensively.
And their game plan was to just try to keep Jaden Daniels in the pocket as much as possible and make him play NFL quarterback, and he was unable to do it. You go. I like Jaden Daniels, so it's hard.
There's
a very jealous and petty side of me that wants to, A, be correct about Cliff Kingsbury, because I was skeptical of Cliff Kingsbury, and B, just not take any shine away from C.J. Stroud, as he this weekend starts his glorious return to dominance.
That's right. That's my big thing. I don't want Jaden Daniels. I'm looking, he's like, man, he's having a better year than C.J. did last year. I don't need somebody infringing on C.J.'s historical rookie year. Go away, Jaden Daniels. Go away.
I had somebody that demanded that I make an apology for my off-season Saquon Barkley takes. After Saquon Barkley went over 1,000 yards last night.
Yeah, and what'd you tell him?
I make zero apologies. Yeah. I never will. Unless I actually get something factually wrong, I'll never apologize for an opinion. Or if I go over over the limit and like kind of insult somebody rather than... I liked Barkley. Or I mean, I liked Derrick Henry over Saquon Barkley.
Who's also doing really good this year.
Yeah. Like, I just... No, I'm not. I will make zero apologies
Nor
for that.
Nor should you. Never apologize for sports takes.
I don't trust that Saquon Barkley is going to stay healthy over the duration of his contract.
So far, okay, for the contract. Like this season so far, he looks steady. Doesn't look like he's slowing down.
Season's not over, Sean. Season's not over.
You're right.
I'm pretty sure that is a guy, a listener, that knows that I don't like being...
told to apologize?
Having apologies demanded of me.
The people asking for apologies for sports takes are the worst.
No, yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
They're worse than murderers and tax cheats.
The worst. That's my latest take. They're the worst, yes. Mm-hmm. Clippers and Rockets tonight. They played on Wednesday. The Rockets won. The Rockets should have won by a lot more. They were up by 20 in the third quarter. Kind of let the Clippers backups make it a game again. Let's destroy them again tonight, Rockets. Ruin James Harden's trip back here to Houston. I feel like James Harden back in Houston for multiple days. This feels like a good night for the Rockets tonight.
Oh, you know? Kind of like when they would go to L.A. back
in
the day.
Yeah, this is basically his southwestern version of L.A., you know?
You couldn't try. Harden might be rolling in here on zero sleep in the last 72 hours.
Harden, who we know can get fat at the snap of a finger, eating at his own restaurant and then going to all the strip clubs. You know, he's going to be fat and all sexed up and everything.
I bet the people of Houston have like tried their hardest to help out the Rockets by just like if you have not shown James Harden the utmost hospitality while he's been back in town,
hey man,
then you're not a real Rockets.
You're not.
Fan.
Yes.
You need to be like loading him up with as many chicken fingers as possible.
Yeah.
As many free shots of this or that.
Yes. Dude, can you imagine if they'd signed him this offseason? Remember that was a thing, like that they might sign James Harden. Can you imagine if we were watching a team with James Harden right now instead of this fun young core that they've got going on right now?
What would it look like, though? I mean, they'd be winning basketball games.
Do you think they'd be 8-4 right now if they had James Harden, like this version of the Rockets? I don't know, man. Like, I feel like you watch any interview with any of these young guys, and it feels a lot like the Texans, you know, where it's like this young core that like is vibing off of each other and whatnot, and it's
Texans
like
are this fun young team.
And you say that about the Rockets. Do I sound like Schrager right now? Maybe, I don't know, but there is a big chemistry thing going on. You drop James Harden into the middle of that thing, that's a grenade on the chemistry, I think, on this team. You know, like
Harden's averaging 20.7 points per game.
Yeah, I'm not saying he's been bad. I'm just saying, compared to what this Rockets team is.
No, but it is also like it is worth wondering. Okay, yeah, what version of James Harden are you getting? He's got his as of right now, it's the lowest shooting percentage he's had since 2012.
Yeah,
He's at 36.2% on his field goals. He's 31% on his 3 points. That's the lowest he's had in his entire career. He's averaging 20 points per game, which would be the lowest, except he only averaged 16.6 points per game last year.
Right.
He's not vintage James Harden. That would be another part of it. It would be depressing.
Yeah.
It would be depressing because you would not be getting vintage James Harden.
Nope.
And it would feel like, I think they could have the same record, but it wouldn't feel like, oh yeah, this was worth like all that money and everything else for the future. It wouldn't feel like that.
Yeah, you feel like you're building a Western Conference contender right now. It would not feel that way if you were 8-4 with James Harden.
It would also very much feel like, oh yeah, and it's James Harden, and oh, we know James Harden in the playoffs,
right?
Okay, so it's non-peak James Harden, and he's still gonna suck in the playoffs.
That's right.
Great.
Quick Astros blurb. Yeah, they got three guys on the all MLB second team. Yordan Alvarez at DH, Jose Altuve second base, and Framber Valdez was named to all MLB second team. All right, those are your headlines. Up next, CJ Stroud. CJ Stroud and D'Amico Ryans both said the same thing about what CJ needs to do. Will Bobby Slowick get this memo as well? We will let you hear what that is coming up next.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. no matter what. Just take a shot, pass the rest to your entire squad, and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5HourEnergy.com with the purchase of Stand the Fan 5-Hour Energy. Shipped nationwide.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts. It's
better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.